Assalamu alaikum, this is Zulf Shah. You're listening to the Remap Your Mind podcast, where I will be talking about mindsets, relationships, religion, culture, and spiritual afflictions.
So I will often get asked this question: what are the signs that shayateen are causing problems between myself and my spouse? How do we know, and how are we able to spot them? And yes, it's a valid question. It's something we should be equipped with and able to spot these signs in a marriage when things don't make any logical sense. And understanding these signs isn't about paranoia, as some people would like to often repeat, that you're being paranoid. It's about being prepared, spiritually aware, and knowing when to seek the right help before things get worse. Even then, when we do end up in a situation, when we face conflict, most of us will often turn to our family or friends for advice, and that's fine. But you want to be careful who you turn to, especially when your marriage is under pressure, because not everyone deserves to hear your struggles. And there is a reason for that. The real issue here is that if those closest to you don't understand the nature of spiritual afflictions, especially sihr, and how it affects your emotions and communication, then the advice they give could be more damaging than helpful. Unfortunately, in situations like this, you'll often find that certain family members and friends become overnight experts in psychology or ruqya, despite having no real experience in either. Some will speak from their own pain and advise you through the lens of their unresolved trauma. Others may gaslight or dismiss you entirely. And then there are those who will fuel the fire, perhaps unknowingly, or maybe they do know exactly what they're doing because that's just how they are. And while their intentions might not always be malicious, their ignorance can become a tool for the shayateen to cause even more harm, since the shayateen want you confiding in the wrong people. And that's why you need to seek help from someone who understands sihr and not someone who just wants to vent with you. Understand that your marriage is worth more than careless opinions, whether that's from family or friends. It doesn't matter. In the end, it could cost you your marriage. So what are the signs that we should be looking for? Although there are various ways that shayateen use psychological and emotional manipulation to cause separation between a husband and wife, if you're a newlywed and you're struggling in your marriage and things just don't make any sense, this is how it will usually unfold. This is the pattern you're most likely experiencing. It's a textbook method, and it always begins with sowing doubt and mistrust. One of the most common tactics I've spoken about, both in past episodes and in client sessions, is the way shayateen plants subtle but destructive seeds of doubt between spouses. This isn't always loud or obvious. It often starts with a quiet whisper that makes a person second guess something harmless their partner said or did. Over time, these whispers grow into full-blown suspicions, often without a shred of evidence. For example, in one of my earlier podcast episodes, I spoke about a case where a husband became convinced that his wife no longer respected him, purely based on the way she responded to him during stressful conversations. She wasn't disrespectful, she was overwhelmed and emotionally drained, but the shayateen took advantage of that vulnerability and fed him thoughts like, she looks down on you now, or she's stopped caring. This led to him withdrawing emotionally and interpreting even neutral behavior through a lens of mistrust. I've also had clients, particularly women, who were made to believe that their husbands were being unfaithful, purely because they seemed distracted or preoccupied. In one case, the husband had been silently struggling with work-related stress, but the wife began to believe he was hiding something. Shayateen fueled that in a narrative, and rather than asking him gently, she reacted defensively. What could have been solved in one honest conversation turned into weeks of distance, suspicion, and hurt feelings. These thoughts don't just pop out of nowhere. When sihr or other form of manipulation are involved, the thoughts come with emotional weight. They feel real. And that's what makes them so dangerous. They don't just whisper doubts, they distort reality and magnify negative interpretations until a person no longer trusts their own judgment or their spouse. And what's worse is that many people, instead of recognizing this as a spiritual interference, will turn to friends or family members who may only reinforce the doubts by saying things like, yeah, I noticed something's off, or maybe you're right to feel suspicious. And just like that, a once stable marriage is put on unstable ground, not because of anything either spouse did, but because the shayateen knew exactly which emotional buttons to press. This is why I always emphasize the importance of spiritual insight and ruqya, not just when things fall apart, but as regular protection. Because when the shayateen know that a couple is vulnerable or distant from dhikr, they will exploit every single gap in communication and trust. What starts as a seed of doubt, planted subtly by the shayateen, rarely stays small. That doubt festers and begins to shape how one spouse sees the other. It may begin with, why do they say it like that? Or they've been distant lately. Maybe they don't love me anymore. These kinds of thoughts, when left unchecked, evolve into emotional filters through which everything else is interpreted. Before you even know it, negative thoughts and feelings take root. Resentment begins to form, and it doesn't need much fuel. Just a small misunderstanding, a moment of tiredness, or a poorly chosen word can now explode into anger. What would have once been brushed off or talked through becomes a full-blown argument. Not because the issue itself is big, but because the emotion behind it has been supercharged by whispers that keep reinforcing the worst-case interpretation of everything. In my past sessions, I've seen wives who couldn't explain why they suddenly felt disgust or rage towards their husbands, even though he hadn't changed. Or husbands who suddenly viewed every action their wife took as controlling or disrespectful, when just weeks earlier they'd described her as loving and supportive. The shift was irrational, and even they recognized it, but the emotion felt real and overpowering. This is what makes spiritual affliction so insidious. The person experiencing it may even say, I don't know why I feel this way. I just can't stand them anymore. They may even want the marriage to work, but feel like something inside is pulling them away emotionally, mentally, and even physically. And so these irrational, magnified emotions lead to conflicts that are completely out of proportion with reality. A missed call becomes a betrayal. A forgotten errand becomes a sign of disrespect. A quiet mood is interpreted as silent punishment. These assumptions then lead to verbal attacks, stonewalling, defensiveness, all behaviors that drive the couple further apart. This is where things often spiral into the next stage, isolation, where either one or both spouses begin to emotionally or even physically withdraw. They stop opening up, they stop reaching out for help, and they start believing no one else would understand anyway. At this point, the shayateen don't even need to whisper as much, because the couple is now doing the work of spiritual sabotage themselves, actively hurting each other without even realizing they're being manipulated. It's in this state of isolation that the amplification of minor issues begins. The shayateen will work to magnify minor annoyances until they feel like unforgivable offenses. A client once shared how a comment about her cooking spiraled into a 3-day silent treatment. Why? Because the comment wasn't just heard as feedback. It was heard through a filter of, he doesn't appreciate me, a filter the shayateen planted. And when you're constantly focusing on the petty, it's easy to lose sight of the bigger picture, the foundation, the love, the growth you've built together. And like that, naturally, the shayateen will thrive when communication starts breaking down. One spouse might say, I just need a bit of time to think. And the other hears, I don't care anymore. A joke is misread as mockery. A delay in responses becomes, you're ignoring me. I've seen couples who thought they were clear, but the way they were hearing each other was tainted by suspicion or fear, often spiritual in nature. And the longer things go on, the more it creates emotional distance. It becomes easier to withdraw than to try again. I've had clients who were emotionally estranged from each other for years without a single major incident, just layers of misread signals. And once communication is compromised, the next step the shayateen take is to plant seeds of hopelessness. Like, what's the point? We'll never fix this. Maybe I married the wrong person. These thoughts often sound like your own, as I've explained in previous podcasts, but they're not. They're carefully inserted whispers that align with your pain, your tiredness, or your fear. In one Rukia session, a husband admitted he used to repeat, this marriage is killing me, to himself daily, until he realized this thought didn't start with him. He didn't even remember when he began thinking it. That's the thing about whispers. They become your inner dialogue unless they're caught at an early stage. Now, once that hopelessness settles in, the shayateen nudge spouses to check out mentally. And so you'll find yourself drowning in work, escaping into hobbies, scrolling endlessly, or over-socializing, anything that stops you from investing in the marriage. Sometimes it even looks religious, overcommitting to good deeds that exclude your spouse. One couple I worked with said they were too busy with dawah and kids to talk to each other. But behind that was avoidance, fueled by shayateen whispering, you're doing the right thing, your spouse just doesn't understand. This is where things become dangerously slippery. The shouting will then introduce others into the emotional space that was meant to be reserved for the spouse. It might be an ex, a work colleague, a friend who suddenly just gets you, or what's worse, even a non-mahram relative who you suddenly begin confiding in. It doesn't always begin as cheating. It begins with feeling seen by someone else when you're emotionally starving at home. But eventually, emotional validation becomes emotional dependence, which can lead to full-blown betrayal. Now, I've worked with clients who never intended to cross boundaries but found themselves justifying conversations they would never have tolerated from their spouse. And so now the shayateen will dig deeper. If one spouse has a history of abandonment, they'll whisper, "See, they're leaving you too." If there's childhood trauma around trust, they'll say, "They're just like the ones who hurt you." These insecurities, already painful, are pushed into overdrive. In one case I dealt with, a wife who had been betrayed in a past relationship suddenly became hyper-paranoid about her husband's every movement, even though he was loyal. The pain wasn't imagined, but the target was misdirected. That's the weaponization of vulnerability. And so the final blow will be to block spiritual healing. Just when the couple needs to turn to Allah the most, the shayateen cause spiritual laziness, mental fog, or overwhelming distraction. They'll feel too tired to pray together. Ruqya becomes too intense. Counseling feels pointless. One client said she used to cry when she heard Quran, but during the worst period in the marriage, she felt nothing. That emotional numbness was part of the attack. Shayateen know that once a couple reconnects with Allah, they become spiritually fortified. And so the last move is to block access to that healing entirely. And so this is how shayateen break homes, slowly, strategically, with full knowledge that many of us won't recognize it. And this is why it's all the more important that you learn this and understand their strategy. Their MO is always the same. It's a textbook method of how to break a marriage. Now, if you're living through this, it's understandable that you might mistake your spouse's behavior as just them. But when their behavior becomes unusually cold, irrational, or unrecognizable, it's time to ask deeper questions. Now, as I mentioned earlier, please don't turn to people who lack insight into spiritual afflictions. Just because they're your family or your friends doesn't mean they'll have the right answers. In fact, many become soundboards who'll offer you a pizza or burger just to lift your mood. And fair enough, you might smile for a while, but your problems won't disappear with the food. Think back. Remember who your spouse was before all this. The late nights, the shared meals, the laughter, even the burnt toast. Are you really willing to throw all that away without even considering whether something unseen is tearing it all apart? Start educating yourself and understand the different types of sihr and how they manifest. Learn about adhkar and how ruqya works. Protect yourself and your home. In the end, ignorance won't be an excuse. Allah gifted us with intellect and resources. Did we seek protection or did we leave ourselves vulnerable? Did we learn about the unseen dangers or did we act like they didn't exist? And remember, through all of this, it's often the children who end up living with the consequences if we as adults can't see the bigger picture. I'm here to support you and remind you that healing and repair are still possible. Don't walk away from something that can be rebuilt with the right effort and guidance. Check in with me when you're ready. We'll take it step by step, but understand that it will require commitment, honesty, and consistent effort. This isn't a quick fix. It's a real journey and you'll need to show up for it. There's also an Instagram carousel with bite-sized visuals of the 10 signs I mentioned in this episode, designed for sharing and reflection. So if you know someone who may be going through marital issues, send it to them so they can benefit from it, inshallah. And as always, if you find value in my podcast, please consider supporting it on Patreon. We want to keep this podcast going so it can continue reaching those who need it. Shaitan won't stop. He never will. But we can make sure more people have access to this kind of support and knowledge. Spread the word, share it with others, and support the work. Until the next time, assalamu alaikum to all my brothers and sisters, wherever you are.